Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, February 2nd. MISD changes to school calendar needed. Weather event means district needs two bad weather days. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. The three bad weather days will likely force the Midland ISD School Board to modify the remaining calendar to meet state standards. Midland ISD Superintendent Stephanie Howard said the school board will discuss and possibly approve revisions of the 2022-2023 school calendar at a 5:30 p.m. Thursday meeting at the district's Central Administration Building, 615 West Missouri Avenue. Howard said the district is required to meet a certain number of days to fulfill a requirement that goes back to the 2021 legislative session. Waivers could help the district, but Midland ISD still must use two bad weather days. Midland ISD's 2022-23 calendar, however, had one set for the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, January 16th. The other is set for April 7th, which is Good Friday. Howard said options for the board to consider include, but are not limited to, using a day or days during the upcoming intersession week, February 13th through 17th. One scenario is using February 13th, a Monday, and April 7th as bad weather days. Another is using February 13th and 14th and keeping April 7th a holiday. There are other options, and Howard said there won't be one perfect solution. Changing the schedule will allow Midland ISD access to missed school day funding, but mainly it allows Midland ISD to stay compliant with state guidelines, including having 180 school days. Howard wanted to give her team at Central Administration and on campuses across Midland credit for adapting to wintry weather scheduling and being flexible during the three winter weather days. She also complimented families for making adjustments because of the weather and being patient as decisions were made to keep students, staff, and their families as safe as possible. Northeast Elementary School Update. A Northeast Elementary School update will be a topic for a special Midland ISD board meeting today. The meeting is scheduled for 5:30 p.m. inside the Central Administration Building at 615 West Missouri Avenue. Midland ISD staff will update the board with demographic projections, including student population now and in the future. Currently, students living in the State Highway 349 corridor attend school at General Tommy Franks Elementary, but Midland ISD Superintendent Stephanie Howard noted land has been set aside inside the Lone Star Trails development for the building of an elementary school. A facilities committee has identified a Northeast Elementary School as a priority for the district. During the meeting, board members are expected to hear about project costs using a larger floor plan, like the one across town at Yarborough Elementary, one of three elementary schools built as a result of the 2012 school bond. Howard said it is too early to say if the district could fund any construction of a Northeast Elementary School without a school bond, but that an update was needed because of new school board members. Midland ISD officials have previously stated that once an elementary school is built in Northeast Midland, the current General Franks campus could again become a neighborhood school for students living in East Midland. Forum. Next president should carry on Midland College's legacy. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. A Midland College presidential profile meeting on Wednesday was not as much about what a new president needs to change, but what he or she needs to carry on. The conferences on Wednesday were facilitated by Bill Holda, the consultant hired to assist the college in the process. This presidential search is Holda's seventh within the state in 3 years. Holda wanted to gain information from the Midland College community to bring to the presidential search committee, comprised of 4 board members. Holda and the search committee plan to use the information to organize a presidential profile, a list of characteristics, skills, and experience they want out of their next leader, which will be published online as early as next week, Holda said. Stan Jacobs, the retired Associate Vice President of Instruction at Midland College, said he doesn't believe there is much that Midland College's next president needs to reform, but the right person should maintain the historic excellence the college has garnered. Jacobs said if the college had a need to be addressed, it would be focusing on career and technical education programs. Quote, "That seems kind of odd coming from an academic person, particularly a person in the arts, but I think that is our greatest need," Jacobs said. "But beyond that, I think we need a leader with vision, a vision for the future," end quote. He added that the college needs to share its successes with the community and address its weaknesses transparently. Rebecca Karth-Chonaki, a Midland College alum and University of Texas at Arlington faculty member, said the next president needs to keep up with higher education trends and demographic challenges all institutions nationwide are facing. She also wants someone who can empower the students to be successful. Quote, "Also, somebody who can handle partnerships," Chonaki said, "because Midland College has continued to grow partnerships, both with the early college program and some of those partner schools where students can complete their bachelor's degree," end quote. Many online commenters during the live stream of the event added that they want a president with strong ties to Midland and not fall victim to struggles Midland ISD has faced when it comes to school leaders staying for 1 or 2 years before leaving. Holda said he and the board will emphasize that the school is not looking for a career ladder person, but rather for a candidate who plans to stay a while. Midland College has had 4 presidents in its 54-year history. Quote, "Midland is a good, when I say a place to retire, I don't mean someone who comes and retires on the job, but it's a good end capstone for careers," Holda said. Holda added he doesn't imagine many applicants would see the position as a stepping stone. Other online commenters remarked that they want a president who can connect to Midland as a whole, not just the business community, but the arts communities and the culture and lifestyle that Midland offers. Other Midlanders said the college's next president should look to embed workforce training into all classes to meet local business needs. Many seemed happy with the community feel and atmosphere the college has created. Quote, "We don't need a president that has an attitude that Midland College lacks this or that and wants to change the overall feel of Midland College. We don't want to be another school. We want to remain Midland College," one viewer commented. Members of the college community said the next leader should continue momentum gained in newly instated or reinstated programs created during Steve Thomas's tenure. Holda says the college has good bones and claimed the next president should help it rise to the next level. The college hopes to narrow down the estimated 40 to 60 applicants to a group of 7 to 10 by March 22nd. Then board members will conduct 50-minute interviews and end up with 3 to 5 finalists who will come to campus the week of May 1st for public forums. The board hopes to choose the college's 5th president no later than June 1st and have a new president in place by July 1st, according to Holden. Report: rent increases in Midland among highest in state. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Yearly rent increases are as high in Midland, Odessa as anywhere in the state of Texas, according to ApartmentList.com. The online apartment guide shows an 18.7% increase in median rents in Midland. That is only topped inside the state by the 22.5% increase in Odessa. The median increases across other larger metropolitan areas in West Texas range from 0.2% in San Angelo to 6.4% in Lubbock. Among the largest metropolitan areas in the state, the range is 2% in Austin and 4.9% in Dallas. The higher percentage increases mean rents in Midland are catching up and even passing other averages in the region. ApartmentList.com reported the median one-bedroom rent hit in $816 in Midland during the month of January. The median two-bedroom rent was $1,023. Of the other five larger metropolitan areas in the region surveyed, Midland, Odessa, Lubbock, San Angelo, and Abilene, only Lubbock and San Angelo posted a higher median rents for one-bedroom apartments, $845 and $833 respectively. Midland trailed only Lubbock for two-bedroom rents, $1,039. As recently as June, the median rent for a two-bedroom apartment in Midland was around $934, nearly $100 less. ApartmentList.com showed a range of $1,268 to $1,766 for two-bedroom apartments across the largest metropolitan areas in Texas in January. Again, increases helped tell the story. No city in Texas showed a larger monthly increase than Midland, 2%, and aside from Odessa, Midland, and Galveston, 17.5%, no other cities in Texas showed a yearly increase of rent at least 12%. Rents nationally fall by 0.3% month over month, but were still up 3.3% year over year, according to ApartmentList.com. Midland Rent Report. Monthly increase, 2.0%. Yearly increase, 18.7%. Median one-bedroom, $816. Median two-bedroom, $1,023. Odessa Rent Report. Monthly increase, 0.2%. Yearly increase, 22.5%. Median one-bedroom, $678. Median two-bedroom, $892. Two-bedroom rents. West Texas. Lubbock, $1,039. Midland, $1,023. San Angelo, $1,023. Abilene, $974. Odessa, $892. Largest Texas cities. Austin, $1,766. Dallas, $1,426. Fort Worth, $1,308. San Antonio, $1,295. Houston, $1,268. Largest monthly increases. Midland, 2.0%. The Woodlands, 1.6%. Longview, 1.2%. Allen, 1.1%. Largest yearly increases. Odessa, 22.5%. Midland, 18.7%. Galveston, 17.5%. Waxahachie, 11.5%. College Station, 10.6%. Source, ApartmentList.com.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, February 2nd, 2023. Culture. Three things to do in Midland this weekend, February 3rd through 5th, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Break a sweat to close out the cold. Nothing beats a few days cuddled up on the couch, binge watching movies and working from home. Yet, for those looking for a heart-raising, heart rate raising activity to end the cold week, head over to Midland Yoga Works for a full snow moon session. Led by instructor Liz Binder, this yoga nidra, Sanskrit for sleep, shows participants how to use inner fires and flames of passion as warmth. Rooted in ultimate relaxation, guests will complete a 45-minute gentle flow in a candlelit room, followed by a guided meditation. The entire workout runs an hour long, and a spot can be reserved at https://bit.ly/4oij9m9. For more information, visit www.midlandyogaworks.com. Friday, 5:45 p.m. at 4610 North Garfield, Suite B11. Boot scoot all night long. Road tripping from Abilene, south of Mahan, hits the tall city for the first time since retiring old crew name Money Shot. Made up of Scott Smith, vocals, Juan Martinez, guitar, David Wimprine, bass, and Curtis Hansen, drums, the rowdy quartet gives hardcore Texas country soaked in a gradient of rock and roll. The perfect combination of West Texas flair and Southern class, south of Mahan, leaves a trail of honky-tonk wit wherever they land, including the Angry Armadillo. For more information about the band, visit www.southofmayhem.com. Saturday, 8:45 p.m. at 3704 West Wall. Indulge in Sipruary. Kicking off its first industry night this weekend, Sip House will feature fan-favorite drinks at a discounted price. Repeating every Sunday this month, customers can expect $7 Mexican candy, by far the best oversized shot I've had in Midland, $6 ranch water, and $5 lemon drops and Chilton's. Along with the specials, expect intricately arranged Valentine's decor throughout the entire venue. For more information, visit Sip House on Instagram at @sip_house. Sunday, 4 p.m. to midnight at 303 West Wall in the basement. Community Roundup by Stuart Doreen. City of Midland Job Fair. The City of Midland Utilities Department will host a job fair from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Tuesday at the Water Plant, 5000 North Midland Drive. On-the-spot interviews and offers will be made for qualified applicants for the following positions for full-time and shift work. Utility Plant Operator. Water Reclamation Facility. Water Plant Treatment Technician. Water Purification Plant. Equipment Operator. Water and Wastewater Maintenance. Electronic Tech. Chief Operator, Water Reclamation Facility. Maintenance Tech, Water Purification Plant. Most positions require a GED or high school diploma. The City of Midland offers competitive pay, room for growth, and an excellent benefits package. Potential applicants can apply online at www.midlandtexas.gov. Calendar. Silver Spur Trade Show, Sunday at the Horseshoe Pavilion. Desert Paw Obedience Club Agility Show, February 11th and 12th, Horseshoe Livestock Building. Annual Prayer Breakfast, 7 to 8:15 a.m., February 16th, at the Bush Convention Center. West Texas Kennel Club, February 16th through 18th at the Horseshoe Pavilion. From Disability to Possibility, The Power of Inclusive Classrooms, presented by Bynum School, February 17th at Bynum School. Wild Wild West Casino Night, benefiting Oil Patch Kids, February 24th at the Bush Convention Center. https://www.betterunite.com/OilPatchKidsWildWildWestCasinoNight. Upcoming meeting. Midland ISD, 5:30 p.m. Thursday at the Administration Building, Room 101 at 615 West Missouri. What's Up with Midland? I'm Morgan Taylor Thomas. At the Angry Armadillo, South of Mayhem, Saturday. At the Blue Door, Cookie Decorating, February 8th. Pottery Class, February 15th. At City Nights, Cash Call, Friday. At the Double Tree by Hilton, Anti-Valentine's Day Paint Party, Friday. At Eccentric Brewing Company, Chocolate and Beer, February 14th. At 4 Midland, For Love's Sake, Friday. At the Horseshoe, Amazon Backyard Hot Tub Show, Friday through Sunday. Silver Spur Trade Show, Saturday and Sunday. Desert Paw Obedience Club Agility Show, February 11th and 12th. West Texas Kennel Club, February 16th through 18th. Ray Lana Spring Consignment, February 19th through 22nd. Rig Zone Career Fair, February 22nd. Sun County Region Volleyball Association, February 24th through 26th. At La Hacienda Event Center, Chase Matthew and Kid G, Thursday. Grupo Recluta y los Vendavales de Aiden Melendez, February 10th. Grupo Liberacion y Grupo Brindis, February 24th. At Midland Community Theater, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Friday and Saturday, February 10th and 11th, 17th through 19th, 24th and 25th, March 3rd and 4th. Golden Ticket Experience with Susie's South 40 Confections, Saturday, February 18th. At Midland Palette Club, Alcohol Inc. Workshop, February 7th. At Midland Yoga Works, Full Snow Moon Yoga Nidra, Friday. At Occasions Fine Jewelry, Le Vian Trunk Show, Thursday. At the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, West Texas Symphony Spotlight, Masterwork Series, Saturday. Pink Floyd Laser Spectacular, February 5th. An Evening with Lyle Lovett and His Acoustic Group, February 7th. Cinema Under the Stars, Beauty and the Beast, February 9th. My Fair Lady, February 15th. Lone Star Brass, February 17th. Cheap Trick, February 28th. Midland County hopes to reopen Thursday after weather closure. By Ben Schaefer. Midland County government closed its offices and the county courthouse the past 3 days because of inclement weather. For County Judge Terry Johnson calling off services, including providing marriage and death licenses as well as other documents, is inconvenient. The courtrooms located in the courthouse have juries called for duty along with lawyers, litigants, judges, witnesses, and court support who need to be present to perform their responsibilities, he said. Johnson said county officials rely on state and local authorities to help make decisions about weather-related closure. In the post-COVID work environment, the rising popularity and accessibility of Zoom and work-from-home practices help the county operations, but there are limitations when county leaders cannot meet in person, according to Midland County Public Information Officer Tate Owen. Owen said the safety of county staff and residents are at the forefront of making the decision to close their office and courtrooms. The biggest benefits to working from home on bad weather days are it allows our employees to be home safe and it keeps our Midland County residents from making trips up to the courthouse in conditions that aren't ideal. We'll be happy to serve the community as usual once it's safe to do so. Ultimately, safety is the county's first priority when our elected officials look at making decisions involving closures, she said. The county plans to reopen its offices Thursday, but will reassess Thursday morning. Students to Return to Class After Wintry Weather Break by Stuart Doreen and Mercedes Cordero. Students across Midland County and around the Permian Basin will return to school Thursday after a wintry weather break. The start of school for Midland ISD, Greenwood ISD, Ector County ISD, and others will take place 2 hours later than normal, but the school week will finally begin for students after days of glazed roads and the threat of even worse. The National Weather Service reported 0.03 of an inch of precipitation Wednesday at Midland International Airport. But the high temperature never made it into the 30-degree range on Wednesday, stopping at 29 degrees. The forecast on Thursday calls for scattered rain showers, snow showers, and freezing rain before 10 a.m., and then scattered showers later, according to the NWS. The high temperature, however, is expected to reach 49 degrees. The National Weather Service, at its afternoon briefing Wednesday, indicated that weather conditions are expected to improve Thursday, though drivers should use precaution when traveling, MISD said in a press release. District officials will monitor the weather situation and will conduct an assessment of road conditions Thursday morning. Barring a change, Midland ISD elementary campuses will begin at 9:45 a.m. and secondary campuses will start at 10:40 a.m. The school day will end at normal times. Delays and closures due to inclement weather for Thursday. Midland ISD campuses will operate on a 2-hour delay. Greenwood ISD campuses will operate on a 2-hour delay. Ector County ISD campuses will operate on a 2-hour delay. IDEA Public Schools, IDEA Travis and IDEA Yukon in the Permian Basin area will operate on a 2-hour delay. Midland College, all Midland County locations will be open at 10 o'clock. UTPB, all in-person classes will resume at 11 a.m. Classes before 11 a.m. will be held remotely. Staff will return to campus at 10 a.m., working remotely before that. Midland Health, DIA Legends start at 10 a.m. Thursday. DIA West start at 10 a.m. Thursday. DIA Main start at 10 a.m. Thursday. DIA Permian Cardiology, 10 a.m. start on Thursday. The Breast Center starts at 10 a.m. Thursday. MRI Legends start at 10 a.m. Thursday. MRI Main start at 10 a.m. Thursday. MRI Abel Hanger closed Thursday. Midland Health Outpatient Pharmacy start at 1 p.m. Thursday.
Here are some death notices that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, February 2nd. Ellen Letts of Midland died on January 21st in Midland. There are no services at this time. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory in Midland. J.B. Porter, age 80, of Midland, passed away on January 27th. A receiving of friends will be held on Friday, February 3rd, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel, 1502 North La Mesa Road in Midland. Funeral service will be Saturday, February 4th, at Macedonia Baptist Church, 201 South Carver Street in Midland, starting at 11 a.m. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asancheztfh.com. Shirley Ann Wallace, age 78, passed away on January 29th. Receiving of family and friends for viewing will be held on Saturday, February 4th, from 1 p.m. until 8 p.m., and Sunday, February 5th, from 1 p.m. until 8 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Funeral service will be on Monday, February 6th, at 1 p.m. at Faith Temple Church of God in Christ. Interment will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park Cemetery. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and it is Thursday, February 2nd, 2023. Weather outlook expected to brighten today. Hopefully the worst of the freeze this week is over today, with temperatures expected to be a low of 28 and a high of 51. Schools and local government offices have been shut down since Monday as the area rode out freezing temps with sleet, some snow, and rain that left roadways icy and dangerous. Ector County ISD, about 4 p.m. Wednesday, detailed that the district will have a two-hour delay start today. They will also drive the roads in the morning between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. in case they need to cancel school. UTPB, Odessa College, and Midland ISD are also planning a two-hour delay. Medical Center Hospital announced all ProCare offices, clinics, and non-patient-facing departments within the hospital will have a delayed start of 10 a.m. on this morning. All scheduled procedures and surgeries before 10 a.m. will go on as scheduled. As always, the hospital and the emergency department will remain open 24/7. Ector County Judge Dustin Fawcett said that county offices will have a delayed start of 10 a.m. today. Fawcett also said the county will re-evaluate in the morning and make a decision if it's sticking with that or closing for the day at 8 a.m. Wednesday saw sleet rain down throughout the Permian Basin as roads remained icy, rendering travel difficult for part of the day. Portions of the Permian Basin, including Odessa and Midland, were under an ice storm warning throughout the day. However, unlike Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday morning did not see low-level moisture in the early hours, and the precipitation started around 9 a.m. in Odessa. So we're still expecting freezing rain throughout Wednesday. Forecaster Samantha Zuber of the National Weather Service in Midland said, "Some of the drier air will help us forego some of the snow this morning. Moisture is now moving up. I just talked to the Crane County Sheriff, and they are now seeing freezing rain deteriorating road conditions. We can expect that for the next couple of hours as moisture enters the area. Wednesday's high was only 32 degrees with a low of 23. However, the long-awaited good news is that today should see a return to well above freezing temperatures. The high for today is supposed to be 51 with a low of 28, and the return of sunshine to melt off some of the ice. Regardless of whatever we get on Wednesday, we should be above freezing Thursday," Zuber said. "So luckily, it should melt off. We should have clear skies in the morning with warming conditions. We shouldn't have to worry about it." However, Zuber said tonight could see some ice refreeze. If there is a significant amount of ice that does accumulate, and it starts to melt off tomorrow, we might see another refreeze Thursday night, Zuber said. We're going to drop into the 20s. We want people to be aware that if they're heading out the door Friday morning, any wet spots may be ice. There may be some refreezing on the road. How much ice is left over today will depend on how much Odessa and Midland get on Wednesday. That is going to depend on how much ice-related accumulation hits ground, Zuber said. Once the sun comes out, it should warm up fairly quickly. It'll be overcast throughout the morning. I will say that Thursday morning, anything that is still left on the roadways is still going to be there Thursday morning. It'll take some time to clear off. Road conditions. Interstate 20 remained icy well into Wednesday, but TxDOT is hopeful about the roads improving today. As far as road conditions go Thursday, it'll still be a little bit icy, but toward the evening it should clear up. TxDOT Midland Public Information Director Marianne Cedillo said. Cedillo did warn that this morning should still see icy roads, but that by the afternoon they should clear up. Bridges and overpasses still remain the most dangerous, and Cedillo is still cautioning everyone of black ice. I think it's because we get pretty overconfident, Cedillo said. We think the roadways are fine, and it looks fine. I went out yesterday, and I thought it looked fine to me, but it wasn't. It was black ice, and I slipped. It's the same thing with your vehicle. You look out while driving and think you can drive faster than you can, and there's black ice out there. Your reaction time is affected. You have to be cautious because it might look safe, but it's not. Cedillo is still urging people to hold off travel until toward the end of the week. We caution drivers to stay home, Cedillo said. If they don't have to go out, wait until the end of the week to make those trips out. We just want to keep everyone safe and off the roads. If you need to travel, give yourself space and give yourself time to get there. If you see our vehicles brining or sanding the roads, make sure you give us enough time to do our work. There's no reason to be in a hurry, especially in this kind of weather. Drivers can check the road conditions at tinyurl.com/5xccfhvf. Sharing the Love, Curbside Bistro gives out free soup. Anyone who knows Curbside Bistro owner Alejandro Barrientos will know that he likes to give back to the community. On Wednesday, with most of Odessa shut down due to the winter storm, Curbside Bistro was closed, but the restaurant was able to hand out free soup to people through the drive-thru. It was the second day that Curbside Bistro was handing out free soup. It's one of the many times that the restaurant has given out free food. Curbside Bistro is also well known for having free Thanksgiving meals each November. For Barrientos, the main reason he enjoys doing this is his love of the community. My wife and I were both born and raised here, Barrientos said. Our business is all face-to-face. Our community has supported us no matter what. We see that ECISD is closed. We see that the West Texas Food Bank, different churches and nonprofits are closed, that people rely on every day for food. So I was thinking, we have a warm kitchen and a gas stove. I'm not doing anything, so I might as well feed our community. What better way to do than with free warm soup? On Tuesday, the restaurant was open with soup being served for free to customers who asked. About 800 cups of soup were served on Tuesday. Tuesday we had more because we were opened as a restaurant and we had more people coming in, Barrientos said. I think today everyone was afraid it would be so cold. We'll see what happens with the roads later today. On Wednesday, there was enough bacon and potato soup prepared for a little over 300 cups, with each cup being 12 ounces. Curbside Bistro began giving out the free soup at around 11 a.m. Wednesday and went until they ran out. A couple of employees helped hand out the free soup. Wednesday, it was the four of us who helped volunteer, Barrientos said. Tuesday, it was the whole crew. We had people running all over the place. It didn't matter if you were washing dishes or a manager, everyone was pitching in. Buddy Antos is hopeful that this can inspire other people to do likewise and give back to the community. It's important to have a servant's heart, Buddy Antos said. I feel like cooking is our God-given talent, and this is my passion and my heart is into it. What better way to share my gift and lead by example? Hopefully, it sparks that change that you don't need to be a huge company to do something like this. This is an individual. And to inspire change. We've had donations and people stop by. We've had people bless us and say prayers for us. It's been amazing. Cost of Living Scholarship, a DPT program goal. Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center has a doctorate of physical therapy program that they would like to be able to attract more people to. One way to do that would be creating a cost of living adjustment scholarship fund. Dr. Deborah Edwards, regional dean of the doctorate of physical therapy program in Odessa and assistant program director for the entire program for TTUHSC, said the DPT program matriculates 72 students. 36 stay in Lubbock, 18 go to Odessa, and 18 go to Amarillo. We've always had three cohorts in Odessa, so that's going to give us 54 doctoral students every year, Edwards said. Currently, there are 19 doctorate of physical therapy programs in Texas that are accredited by the Commission on Accreditation in Physical Therapy Education. There is a 20th program that is a candidate for accreditation, so there will be 20 in Texas. In order to grow our cohort size, we have to receive approval through CAPTE, and it's important that we stick to CAPTE's guidelines because in order for a student who graduates with our program to get their license to practice, we have to be in good standing with CAPTE, and we have to be an accredited school. So in order for us to grow the program, we would have to show CAPTE that we have the ability to support growth in this area with clinical sites for that third year. That's really our biggest difficulty in getting clinical sites, Edwards said. A lot of our students end up needing to leave the area in order to do their clinical rotations, she added. She noted that the cost of living in the Permian Basin also is a bit of a barrier. One of our goals here in the Permian Basin is to start a cost of living adjustment scholarship fund because right now, if there were students looking, let's say they just want to go to Tech, they look at Odessa and they look at Amarillo and they look at Lubbock. We have the highest cost of living here. So one of the only ways that we can really attract those students to come here is to offer scholarships. I would say most people, 99% of students who are on this campus, have a significant amount of scholarship, and that's kind of the only way we can get them to stay in an area that to a college student doesn't have a lot of allure compared to being Lubbock, where there's football games or even being in like the DFW, where there's concerts and things like that, Edwards said. She added that TTUHSC does a good job with its interview system when students come to Odessa. They're shown the new academic building, students praising the small cohort size, and being very family-oriented and supportive of them getting through the doctoral program. We have kind of a difficult little niche here in Odessa. Because we have a great product, I would say that the product is getting a doctoral degree at a tuition level, which is a state tuition level, instead of a lot of the other DPT degrees at private institutions that are a lot more expensive, where their debt load is higher, Edwards said. But they also look at the cost of living, which can be $5,000 to $6,000 more than if they chose the Lubbock or Amarillo campuses. That is the number one goal, being in this role as a regional dean. I've talked with our fundraising experts on the main campus and looked at the number of how much would it take for us to have a fund that basically evens the playing field. So if you want to come to Odessa, you're going to get enough scholarship money that it's not going to cost you more because of the cost of living compared to being at other schools in the region. We've got a school in San Angelo. There's a school in Abilene. We've got the campuses in Lubbock and in Amarillo. All of those have a cheaper cost of living. So my hope is that we're able to eventually get to where we're able to provide a solid cost of living scholarship adjustment so that it is more attractive to get students here, Edwards said. She also provided some history of the physical therapy program. The physical therapy profession was originally a certification that came about during World War II and primarily rehabilitation post-polio victims. With the success that they had with those patient populations, the profession began growing with a certification to a bachelor's program, and then eventually it was a master's program. There's a couple different reasons that it became a doctoral program, but the first entry-level DPT degree was awarded in 1996, and that was by Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska, Edwards said. Part of the reason for the progression to a doctoral program was because of the need for more primary care providers, especially in rural areas. There are a lot of states that have direct access where you can go to a physical therapist just like you go to a chiropractor or a podiatrist or an optometrist. As a first contact, the goal of the doctoral program was to have all the therapists be educated enough to not only assess and treat issues that we could assess and treat, but also to be able to recognize serious pathology that was emergent and needed to be referred back to medicine, Edwards said. As of 2008, Texas Tech University Health Sciences was the first program in Texas to award a DPT degree. In 2016, their accrediting body, Commission of Accreditation of Physical Therapy Education, began requiring that all entry-level therapists get a doctoral degree. Primarily, it was in order to increase access to professionals who had enough education to recognize and know where to refer, not only to support the patient with musculoskeletal or a neuro issue, but know when something else was going on and they needed to go either to the emergency room or go back and see their primary care physician, Edwards said. She added that therapists treat patients throughout their lives. Overall, she said, it's meant to benefit patients so the provider can recognize whether a patient needs to be seen in medicine or undergo rehabilitation, for example. We treat multiple systems and multiple diagnoses. As we have grown, our curriculum, our outcomes have gotten a lot better. Lengths of stay in hospitals has decreased with adding physical therapy to routine care. So at this point in time, as an entry-level professional degree, I would say most of your healthcare practitioners that are primary or direct access have a doctoral degree, Edwards said. Abbott to hold roundtable press conference at OC. Governor Greg Abbott will receive a tour of a welding lab at Odessa College and hold a roundtable discussion on workforce development at 1 p.m. today. Following the tour and roundtable, Abbott will hold a press conference with Odessa College President Greg Williams, community college students, education officials, and local business leaders. The governor will also be joined by Senator Kevin Sparks, Representative Brooks Landgraf, and Texas Association of Community Colleges President and CEO Ray Martinez. City of Midland issues update on found boy. Due to the widespread interest and unique circumstances in the case of the unattended boy found in Central Midland on Sunday, the City of Midland announced Wednesday that Midland Police Department detectives will hold a press conference at 2 p.m. today at the Midland Police Department. Late Tuesday evening, the City of Midland issued a press release that detailed additional information about the boy. At 2:10 p.m. Sunday, officers with the Midland Police Department were dispatched to the intersection of Ward Street and Shandon Avenue regarding a check person request, the release stated. Upon arrival, officers saw a black male, 13 to 17 years old, walking alone in the alley. Officers attempted to collect information from the juvenile, but he wouldn't respond. Officers recognized that he may have a mental disability and was nonverbal. The boy wrote his name when asked by officers, but the handwriting was not legible, the release stated. Midland Fire Department, EMS, was notified and responded to check on him and detailed medical treatment was not necessary. He was transported to the Midland Police Department. Crimes Against Persons Unit responded to further investigate. The boy's photo was released to the media in an attempt to locate his guardians or parents. However, this was unsuccessful. The child was released to Child Protective Services. At 4 p.m. Tuesday, MPD, detectives, and crime scene unit collected DNA and fingerprinted him, and he was asked to write his name. The child wrote the name Cordarius several times. Detectives have followed up on information received from the public and surrounding agencies, but have not been able to identify him. Quick hits. Citizen of the Year Luncheon. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce has scheduled the Citizen of the Year Award to David D. Jury at 11:30 a.m. today at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. Tickets start at $100. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com/3x24EDH3. 30th Anniversary Celebration. Harmony Home Children's Advocacy Center has scheduled the 30th Anniversary Celebration from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. today at the MCM Elegante, 5200 East University Boulevard. Call 432-333-5233. Email Nydia Soriano at nydia@hhcac.org or visit tinyurl.com/36USAAB7. Knit and Stitch. The Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4919 East University Boulevard, has scheduled a knit and stitch event from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. today. Knit and Stitch is a postmodern sewing circle. Visit tinyurl.com/5bped2pt. Story Slam. Connection Christian Church of Odessa has scheduled a Story Slam event from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. today at Cafe de Luna, 3952 East 42nd Street. Hear curated original stories from Connections participants, share stories about around the table, and enjoy music and games. Visit tinyurl.com/ykht9we. Chase, Matthew, and Kid G. La Hacienda Event Center, 12610 Highway 191 Midland, has scheduled Chase, Matthew, and Kid G with Avery Anna today. Doors open at 7 p.m. and the event begins at 9 p.m. Tickets start at $31.50. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com/36ZX9X6W. YPO Under 40 Nominations. Young Professionals of Odessa has open nominations for the 2023 Odessa Under 40 honorees. No self-nominations, must be under the age of 40, must live or work in Odessa, must excel in their respective career, must serve, give back to the Odessa community. Deadline is Friday. Visit tinyurl.com/mpzar8rn. seniors impacted by Alzheimer's can apply for AFA scholarships. The Alzheimer's Foundation of America announced on Wednesday it's offering scholarships of up to $5,000 to college-bound high school seniors affected by Alzheimer's disease or other dementia-related illnesses as part of its annual Teens for Alzheimer's Awareness Scholarship. Entries can be submitted at tinyurl.com/2m62tjxz and must be received by 4 p.m. March 1st. Eligible teens are invited to apply for the scholarship by submitting an essay 1,500 word maximum or submitting a video no more than 4 minutes long describing how Alzheimer's disease has impacted their lives and what they have learned about themselves, their family, and or their community through their experience with Alzheimer's. Examples of ways that Alzheimer's impacted a student's life can include having a loved one with Alzheimer's disease or another dementia-related illness, helping care for someone with Alzheimer's disease or another dementia-related illness, volunteering or working in a care setting that serves individuals with dementia, raising Alzheimer's awareness in their school or community, conducting Alzheimer's research. The program is open to current high school seniors living in the United States who will be attending a U.S. college or university this fall. Students already attending college are not eligible to participate. The top prize awarded is a $5,000 scholarship. Additional prizes are awarded for runner-ups and honorable mentions. Last year, AFA awarded $90,000 in scholarships to 117 high school students.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.